It's Good Friday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Brad Sussmad with you. On the show today, we have Jimmy Vaccaro, longtime Vegas bookmaker. So were you guys watching the end of the Patriots game last night with the Steelers and Al Michaels talked about the point spread? Oh, man. I'm just wondering what South Point was like and how Vegas was. And Jimmy, the wisest of the wise guys. We always go over the weekend games on the college and pro football front. And we will do that with Jimmy Vaccaro and also his reaction to the end of last night's Steelers game, because that was what most people were buzzing about. We'll have Goody at the Movies with us, AZ Central's chief film critic, as always on Fridays. Goody talked to Richard Gere this week and the second mother, so we'll talk to Bill, because it's not just football. Tonight with the high schools, tomorrow with the college, especially tomorrow night, an 8 o'clock start for ASU Cal Poly. How many are going to make it to midnight? Because that's about when the game's going to end. And then, of course, Sunday, the Cardinals game. So it's our first big weekend where everything matters, everything counts. We're very much looking forward to that. Our group is going to be out at games tonight, and we'll have a lot of fun on that front. Some of what is on my mind in the world of sports. So let's start with the Cardinals and Sunday's game against the Saints. It's one of those where I've said a few times this week, and the more that I've thought about the opening game, the more that I truly believe it. The Cardinals should win this game at home. If you're going through the schedule and you want to count to 11 or 12 wins that it's going to take, it's a very competitive NFC. It's a very competitive NFC. I mean, if the Cardinals go 11-5, I think they're in. If they're 10-6, I don't know about that. But if you go through the schedule, this is one that you would have to put in the W column. There's no question about it. And it's not that I'm discounting Drew Brees. It's that I'm completely looking at how the Cardinals are a better team top to bottom than New Orleans and have more impact players. Steve Keim has done a terrific job in putting together this roster. I think the job that Steve Keim has done in making sure that he has depth, he's not been afraid to go out and make moves here in training camp, or now training camp's behind us with Chris Johnson. So I'm very excited to see how Chris Johnson runs between the tackles or if he can get outside. You know, is David Johnson going to give them more than what they've got him listed as the third on the depth chart? I have no question Andre Ellington in space, and if Chris Johnson gives them a different dimension, if it's thunder and lightning and then there's David Johnson, that's fine. That's a good three-headed monster. But if the offensive line can't get the job done, what direction does Steve Keim go? If Carson Palmer gets sacked, hit, it's probably a number. I don't know if it's four times he gets thrown to the turf, if it's six times he gets thrown to the turf, they're not going to win. And he cannot afford to take a beating. But the first two games, the Saints and the Bears, to me, the Cardinals should be 2-0 right out of the gate. Also think in the game on Sunday, James Betcher is going to be under the microscope. You can watch a defense play and you can see what type of adjustments they will make as the afternoon progresses. I don't know if James Betcher is the answer. None of us have known. We can all guess. We can all say, well, the Cardinals defense is going to be really good. I don't know that. I would think that they would be based on the roster, but nobody can say for certain that the Cardinals are going to be better on the defensive side of the football from a coordinator standpoint. So I feel as though if you look at that and what the Cardinals have on that side of the football, that there's going to be a period of adjustment. There's just going to be a period of adjustment. And so that's very interesting to me. Last night, I'm watching the Patriots game. And so in the headset, Eric, we have times in our headsets where we have things that play that shouldn't play. And we have confusion that goes on in our headset. Now that we've added the TV show.
Like my camera not working.
Your camera doesn't work today.
You can't see me, but you can hear
me. You know what?
Me.
I can get up. You want me to get up and turn around and put that camera on you? I can put camera three on you. Jared, you want me to do that? You'll do it?
Yeah, I'll do it in a second.
Why don't you just walk in here and do it while we're doing the show? People that watch this show, this isn't all scripted out.
Yeah, they want to see me.
Now, if Eric's camera died today.
Dressed up nice today. I got a t-shirt on.
There's times where, just take this one. No, take this one. It's fine. You want that one? It's fine. It's fine. I, I'm, I don't get all wound up about it. That's the beauty of digital, is you don't make it so that it's completely perfect. And we never have a perfect show. I thought a TV show yesterday was okay.
It was okay. It's getting better.
I thought it was better than the first one. It's still not quite where I want it to be. Jake was great. Peter was great. Geordie's story was great. I was okay. I'm still kind of trying to, as we're doing the show, I'm thinking about it.
You can catch the show on Fox Sports Arizona Tuesdays. No, Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. I don't even know what day it is. Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays.
Nuts?
Monday, Thursday.
All right, does he have a camera now? Let's see how this looks. Let's just put this on the air, and then I'll get back into the Patriots thing last night. Because the people are watching right now. They want to. The people on AZ Central, I mean, they think we're this high-tech production crew, and most days we are, but it's Friday. So they got to crop the shot. That's fine. So let me go back here on the Patriots deal. So I'm watching the Patriots and the Steelers, and Chris Collinsworth, in disgust, starts going off on how they don't have the headsets working properly down on the Steelers' sidelines. And you think to yourself, this cannot possibly be happening. It just, you can't script this stuff. How is it you could have one team that has Spygate, and then you have that same team that gets accused of footballs and lack of air, and then you have, or too much air, and then you have another deal where the first game back, after Tom Brady does all the apologies and everything, the headset for the opposing teams, the coaches, they doesn't work. They hear the radio broadcast of the Patriots. So here's Mike Tomlin last night trying to coach on the sidelines, and he's hearing nothing but static. He's hearing nothing but the first and 10 at the 25. No, that's not what I need. I need my guy. What do you mean I can't get to my guy? Third down and 7, and here's Brady to throw. Touchdown! So let's try this with Eric now. So did you hear all that with Collinsworth?
I did. Yeah. I did, yeah. It was pretty interesting. Yeah, I liked how they, and you said at the top, they talked about the spread, but they really didn't talk about it. They talked around it, but everyone that was watching knew exactly what they were talking about.
Al Michaels, when he steps up and he knows that he's doing the gambling talk,
yeah.
He does.
Sure.
He doesn't care.
Brent Musburger does too.
Oh, no, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. You look like you're in a cave, but I think it's good enough. I could turn a light around if you want. Jared, do you want to turn a light around on him and take one off
me? Let me see, Jared. What does it look like? Take my camera here.
Is it all right? Yeah.
Cave. Oh, yeah, I see. Oh, well. It's
that's
okay.
Fine. You
that's
look like fine. You're in Zero Dark 30.
Yeah, that's fine.
You
whatever.
Know, you're in search for Osama bin Laden in Zero Dark 30. I like that. But it works. It's a camera. It's fine. The content is what counts. So you have this new controversy in New England. And you have Roger Goodell that's not even there. And the broadcast, Al Michaels brought that up. And Chris Collinsworth brought it up. And I was really surprised last night how NBC basically was hammering on their partner. And I was pleased with that. Because I think that for far too long, our industry has just catered entirely too much to these franchises and to these properties because of rights deals. And that you can't say anything negative. And if we're going to say something negative, we're going to call you and we're going to tell you to back down. And we're going to intimidate you. And we're going to remind you that you're the rights holders. And we're going to try every way, shape, and form to silence you. So it was refreshing, actually, because what we all see is truth. Okay, the sideline, it's not working. And this happened right after Deflategate. And the commissioner's not there. So to ignore this storyline would have been the absolute worst of the worst of journalism, which has already gone to the side with these business deals. Hey, we're just not going to pay attention to it. We'll just pretend it didn't happen. Forget if the team is awful. You better not say that we're awful or we're going to make life miserable for you. Come on. So it was refreshing last night. I'll say that. Today's really an interesting day here locally. Thong Maker is in town today. Now you're thinking, a thong maker, what is that? Who makes a thong? No, Thong Maker. Thong Maker. Thong Maker. Kid is 7'1". We've done a couple stories on Thong Maker. and up on Sports 360 AZ. And I think there's some video of him up on the site too. But he's really interesting to me. And we don't do too much recruiting on the basketball front because there's just not that many kids. But when Thon Maker decides to roll in at ASU, today will be a big time day for Bobby Hurley. And there's many that believe that he is going to choose Arizona State over Kentucky. I'm already of the opinion that ASU basketball will be, I'm not going to say far better without Herb Sendek. Herb found what other coaches before him have found, that job has a bit of a mirage impact about it. I'm not going to absolve Herb entirely. I mean, Herb did some things that he couldn't get the right guys to come in. He had too many kids transfer out, so on and so forth. We all know about that. And the building needs to be replaced. And I think Bobby Hurley, from my understanding, is swimming a little bit because this is a much bigger job than Buffalo ever was. When I say swimming, it's more you've got to meet with this booster and you've got to meet with this group and you've got to speak at this place and you need to be with this group and you need to do this national media and you need to do this and you need to do that. So it sounds like he's on the run. I don't know if he's going to be able to recruit big-time players, but this kid is ranked number one in his class. It's like this. As much as we raved about Marvin Bagley, Thon Maker is right there too, and maybe even better in some people's opinions, some people's minds. Hillcrest Academy, where Marvin Bagley is going to school now, my understanding is there's a very good pipeline for Arizona State over at Hillcrest Academy. So if they're able to go get one of these, would another one follow? Or are both of them simply going to go to China and get $1 million a year to go play basketball for some club team and never even show up on campus at Arizona State? Regardless, you're going to hear a lot today about Thon Maker. And you're going to be like, who is this guy if you're really in the sports scene? But it's a pretty interesting story there. On the other side, so Arizona State football, to me, that's not the important story. I think Texas and Rice and Oklahoma and Tennessee are, and I will explain why when it involves ASU and their head coach. That is on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Our television show that we launched this week is on Monday nights, Wednesday nights, Thursday nights. It's a whole different side of what we do here, but we're pretty excited to have that coming on board, presented by the Arizona Ford dealers. Stay with us. So ASU has their game tomorrow night against Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. Eric, are you going? Are you going to?
No, I'm not going.
Not going to go?
Nope. I'll be watching somehow, I think.
You've got a device some way, somehow.
Yeah.
The Pac-12 network still isn't figured out. But so
I like how you said that. I have a device. We're going to take a laptop and plug it into the side of the TV and see if we can make some.
I have four really good seats to tomorrow night's game. Like $200 plus seats.
Wow.
And a really good parking pass. Very, very close. And I don't know who I want to take. If I take my son, this week, just because we're an open book on the show. So this has been one of those weeks where you launch a television show and your wife's mother comes close to passing away. So it's been a tough week. Hopefully she pulls through, but I've been a bit distracted, so I'm not sure that I want to go sit there and watch it's the Mustangs, right? Cal Poly San Luis Obispo Mustangs? I believe that's right. They're in the Big Sky Conference. I don't have to be at the game. I can sit at home and watch it and make notes and critique it and come up with stuff that I want to talk about. But then there's that side of me that's the dad that says, I have these really good seats and I should take my 10-year-old and get him out there to have some fun. But, you got to pick your spots. If I do that, then I probably miss U of A Nevada, which I'm actually more interested in than I am the ASU game this week. Because I just don't care what the final score looks like. It's a glorified scrimmage. If their offensive line doesn't play well against Cal Poly, and if their special teams gives up plays to Cal Poly, part of coaching, it's not, and I truly believe this in Todd's case, it's on Todd to get things fixed because he's the captain of the ship, right? But sometimes it takes more than a game. I'm going to give him a little bit of an out here. It's not like everything's going to be a finished product on Saturday night, but they've got to show some progress. If Cal Poly goes out and returns kicks for scores, if Cal Poly rolls up big numbers on special teams, then they haven't made any progress. they still may give up a big play or two. That's just part of coaching. That's just part of from week one to week two. But you want to see progress. If the punting situation isn't any better this week, then there's a problem. And there may have been a problem already with what we saw at Texas A&M. You can talk and defend kids all you want. And I'm not sitting here piling on a certain kid. I'm just saying facts are, if the punts aren't good and the special teams aren't good from week one to week two, then really what happened this last week? Now, if there's some progress that's made and for the most part things go smoothly, that's all I'm looking for in this game. Because it doesn't matter if it's Cal Poly or New Mexico the next 2 weeks. I'm all about get ready for 2 weeks from now. To me, the season for ASU, these are just more glorified scrimmages. They are. The coaches will say differently, and it's fine. I may sound like I'm disrespecting Cal Poly and New Mexico. I'm not. It's just a fact. Neither one of those programs are top 15 in the nation or aspire to be top 15 in the nation. They've now fallen out of the polls. So they've got a lot of work to do. But here's what's more interesting to me this weekend. So there's two games that I'm going to be watching pretty close, and it's only week number two. And this is the first real big week because of Labor Day and all that stuff. Texas plays Rice, and the head coach at Texas, Charlie Strong, publicly demoted his offensive coordinator this week, and they got embarrassed and shellacked by Notre Dame. I think that that's a program that if you lose to Rice and Steve Patterson is already under the gun, the athletic director down there, there's going to be people circling their wagons and already starting to angle for the Texas job. That's just how it works. And if you don't believe me, then you're kidding yourself. And it's not the coaches, it's the representatives, and it's the friend of a friend, and it's somebody that can make the connection. So the Texas job, I think, is a simmering pot after them being embarrassed last week. Then you have Oklahoma and Tennessee. So Bob Stoops is under the gun this year. Eric, I'm not overstating that.
It depends on who you talk to. He needs to win at least 10 games. He needs to win at least 10. I don't think he needs to make the playoffs. He just needs to get Oklahoma back to where they were.
But they haven't been there in a while.
A few years. This is the first year, I guess, they haven't been ranked in the top five of the preseason poll for like 5 or 6 straight years.
Okay, so Oklahoma-Tennessee.
It's the best game of the weekend on paper.
No, Oregon-Michigan State's the best game of the weekend, knucklehead.
You're right.
What are you talking about?
You're right. Second best game.
All right.
Or LSU-Mississippi State. Take your choice.
Do I have to fine you when you wear that shirt, by the way? I mean,
why?
We're not supposed to show any... What if there's a fan from Baylor watching? They're going to be all bent out of shape.
I don't care.
What are you talking about? That'd be like me wearing a maroon and gold shirt on the air every day that I do this show. That's just not going to happen.
It's not really the same.
Or red, white, and blue shirt. That's not going to happen on this. But Oklahoma-Texas, so... Let's say Oklahoma loses. He's changed his coaching staff in this offseason. The Big 12, we saw what happened to them in the playoff last year. Sorry to tell you this, Oklahoma Sooner fans, but last time I checked, you've been lapped, not just passed by, you've been lapped by TCU and Baylor.
And why is that? Let's see if you can answer the easiest, most obvious question that happens in the Big 12. Why is Oklahoma and Texas struggling when Baylor and TCU aren't?
Why are they?
Very simple.
Okay.
They have no quarterback. If you don't have a quarterback and you play in a Power 5 conference, you have no chance. That's just the way it is.
Okay, so I'll buy that to an extent, but okay. Do I see top to bottom the rosters being what they once were at both of those schools?
No.
Do I see kids that are choosing Texas A&M over Texas? Do I see mistakes? It seems to me that the Mack Brown era, the last 2 years of the Mack Brown era, have caught up to Texas in a big way, where he just was mailing it in and there were people that were afraid to say anything because he's Mac Brown and we could never make a change. That's not negotiable. Well, I don't know. He had kids that transferred out right and left. Charlie Strong has come in and run kids off.
So yeah, and Charlie Strong was hired by Steve Patterson, correct? I believe so.
I believe you're right.
Okay.
I think that was his first big hire.
I think so.
Because then he did Shaka last year for basketball.
Yes.
So I think you're right. But he's already demoted his coordinator after week one. If you're a coordinator, okay, I heard Rick Neuheisel talking about this. if you're the head coach and you make a change in your coordinators, you don't go out and talk about it publicly. I don't see any reason. What is the benefit of doing that? You don't go out there and say, this is the guy that's now calling plays. You're all there together on the same team. If something gets screwed up on the show, and every now and then something gets screwed up on the show, more often than not, I'm not going to sit here and call out the person that screwed it up, because that's just not how we work here. And I think the same thing goes in coaching. Same thing goes in coaching that, well, you know, it's the coordinator's fault. Like you brought up Todd last week with Norvell just a little bit down at A&M. Now, I wasn't there, but I was at Missouri 3 years ago where it was very evident.
Wasn't that drastic and obvious, but yeah. He lamented the fact that the offense had more than their fair share of issues against the Aggies.
Yeah. So those are two games this weekend that for just differing reasons, Texas Rice, Oklahoma Tennessee. Because as I sit here, I've already been on record saying this. If LSU comes open, I think Rich Rod is going to be chased hard for that job. Chased hard. And he may go after that job. I don't know that. But if LSU comes open, and there's a good chance it could this year.
Rich Rod should take that job if it's offered to him.
Okay. And if Texas or Oklahoma come open, those are two jobs that Todd Graham would be all over. No matter what he says about houses being paid off and donating money to the stadium, all that stuff's great. I'm not discounting him on that. But you'd be naive and foolish to believe.
Knows both of those states very well. Used to coach.
They know him very well.
Used to coach at Tulsa.
Sure. Sure. It doesn't matter that Steve Patterson is there right now as athletic director. It doesn't matter, because I don't think he's going to be there. And Todd and Steve didn't talk at the end when they were here at ASU. So, you know, I look at both those jobs very early on in the season. And you have to, when you're in this position and it's Cal Poly coming into town, this is about Cal Poly. This is about what's going to happen with your coach down the road. Doesn't matter how long the extension is. None of that stuff matters. Coaches get out of stuff all the time. Jimmy Vaccaro is next. South Point Casino Resort odds maker. Our weekly visit with Jimmy. 40 years. He's been setting the, he's a bookmaker in Vegas, doing all the stuff around the, the fun of gambling. The odds maker, Jimmy Vaccaro, the great one, joins us next. Then Goody at the Movies in about 15 minutes. I'm Brad Sussmat. Jimmy Vaccaro joins us now, longtime Vegas bookmaker, South Point Casino Resort odds maker. It's always good to have Jimmy, the smartest man alive in Vegas and beyond, on all things college and pro. All right, have to know off the top, what was the closing line last night, South Point Casino, on Steelers-Patriots?
Well, everybody had it 7, really didn't move off. It was a few 7.5. But I can't tell you this, buddy. It's football season, and 20 million people didn't turn off their TV set with 6 seconds to go last night for one simple reason. That's what makes it so exciting. But it remained a 7. Ever since we found out that it was going to be Brady, everybody adjusted to 7, and basically it was just a refund of a game. But it was pretty crazy at the end, as everybody could see.
What was that like for you at the end of the game, Jimmy, when that happened?
Yeah, it saved us about $75,000. That's about what it saved it, because on the game itself, even though there was no movement at the 7, about every 6.5, 10 tickets was utilizing the -7 in their parlay. So it's basically just a refund, but it was a big turnaround for us and a big turnaround for all the books here in Nevada.
All right, let's get after it then. The Cardinals-Saints, what's the view on your end about Cardinals-Saints?
Well, the Cardinals, obviously, it's the same thing every year. You seem to put a pretty good team together, but he can't get over the hump. But then a lot of people, including myself, I think the Saints are going to take a step backwards this year. Lost some key players. Breeze is getting a little bit older. And these are the type of games that Arizona, you've got to start winning these things, Brad. Arizona is a 2.5-point favorite. Really hasn't moved. A little bit of money on the total over the 48. But right now it's basically a small action game with a little bit more money on Arizona as opposed to the Saints.
Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Casino Resort, Bears, Packers.
Big line movement. We opened the game four quite a while ago. Remember, we had these games up way back when. Sure. But it's up to seven now. And even with the injuries, it's all about Aaron Rodgers. He's playing. It really doesn't matter. The injuries, obviously, with no Jordy Nelson, might make it a little bit better. But there's a lot of other people also think the Bears are in for a rude awakening this year. So the Packers open four. It's up to seven. It'll stay at seven. But we'll definitely need the Bears going into the game on Sunday.
A couple other NFL games for Jimmy Vaccaro. Seattle at St. Louis.
Similar situation. Seattle, obviously, you know, will the hangover still be there? Will they still be talking about last year's Super Bowl? I doubt it. The Rams should be a little bit better, but you're still facing a Seahawks team that's pretty well loaded if everybody keeps their cool there. The Seattle Seahawks open the four-point favorite, up to 4.5. Wouldn't be surprised to see it go a little bit higher to 2.5, 5.5. But the Rams should be competitive in this game. And once again, another one of those marquee teams that'll be flashing everybody's parlay ticket.
Last NFL game, Giants at Dallas Sunday night.
Giants, I think, had a little bit of trouble, too. Obviously, just extending Eli Manning's contract. I don't know if that's going to mean a lot more wins. Dallas, they are about ready. If they don't do it this year, I think Jones quits. I think the fans should fire Jerry Jones if they don't get over the hump this year. Naturally, the big move, no DeMarco Murray, but they're a solid six-point favorite over the Giants. It's the first Sunday night game. There'll be a lot of people hanging around for the game, but the game will go nothing but up, and we'll see what happens there.
Over on the college front, Michigan State-Oregon marquee game of the weekend.
Yeah, I would think that's it, and for obvious reasons. Michigan State and Oregon, we know what happened last year where Michigan State just simply spit the game out in the second half. You know, Brad, there's about 10 teams that are legitimate. You truly got to put Ohio State as the number one team. There's about 10 teams I think can crack the New Year's Eve playoff system, but it's getting to the point where you can't lose these type of games early. Mm-hmm. A big step for either one of these teams who wins it, obviously we'll see what happens. Michigan State is taking in a little bit more money right now than the other side. The game is up to 3.5. We'll go to 4, 4.5 Michigan State only because of the revenge factor.
The one other game, Jimmy, that caught my eye for this weekend is Oklahoma at Tennessee, and it's purely because I think Stoops has been feeling some heat. He changes coordinators. They haven't been Oklahoma. They've been passed in the Big 12 by both TCU and Baylor, Texas being as far down as they were, as we saw last week with the Notre Dame game. Oklahoma-Tennessee.
Yeah, it's very obvious that there's more than just some heat on Bob Stoops. Big game, Bob's got to start winning these games. Tennessee, a lot of people, including myself, see maybe a new renaissance here. They will be much better. Here's a game like 2 years ago, you know, Oklahoma would have been anywhere between a 7 and a 10-point favorite. It's a pick'em game. Wow. I wouldn't be surprised to see Tennessee win this game.
Let you go off that, Jimmy. Appreciate it as always. Thanks.
All right, guys.
Good stuff. Jimmy Vaccaro there with South Point Casino and Resort. Good Eat the Movies is on the other side. We'll chat with Bill. Why was he talking to Richard Gere? Richard Gere has turned into like this, I don't know, officer and a gentleman to where he is now. It's like he's in these movies that are just chick flicks. And is he in anything that's good? And we'll talk with Bill about the second Mother that's coming out. And some, I want to get a little bit of buzz from him on the Star Wars build up, and if he's heard any more on that, then the James Bond movie too. That's all straight ahead with Bill Goodykuntz. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now, because you know what is going on in the world of sports for the weekend, it's time to get you ready for the movies with Bill Goodykuntz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. Goody at the movies. Ready for football season, I'm sure. Hi, Bill.
I am ready for football season.
Yeah. What are you watching tomorrow? What games are you watching tomorrow?
I'll just watch whatever they put in front of me. I don't really have any. You know, the James Madison game's probably not going to be nationally televised. I'll probably be, but I've told you they've beaten Virginia Tech once, and I was in the stadium at Scott Stadium in Charlottesville, Virginia, when they beat UVA, and Gary Clark scored 2 touchdowns, and it was so great because I love UVA is one of the best schools in the country. I had a lot of friends that went there, but they're so arrogant, and Gary Clark just put them back. And Charles Haley was on that team too, by the way.
That's good. I have to wonder, are you the type of guy that sits in front of a computer and pushes refresh with the little football moving when James Madison is playing? Is that you?
You know what I like to do it on my phone, because that
on your phone you do that.
Well, that gives a false impression that I'm actually doing something else. I'll go outside and do something. But I'll sit there and like look and look and look. And you'll get, and occasionally you'll do that thing. You know, I've thought about this a lot. Like, watching a game on my phone, you can watch a game now pretty much on your phone or your computer, sure, if you're willing to pay. Or if you're, but I'm of an age that, like, I remember when people first, as are you, first started using the internet, and video was not the most reliable thing in the world. And if you wanted to watch, say, a movie trailer, you'd click on it, and you'd wait about an hour for it to load
up. Spinning ball, sure, right. Spinning ball,
yeah,
death.
And then it'd play for 3 or 4 seconds, and then it would stop. And I think that for people, I've always wondered this. I think people of our age, they're not quite as trusting of video as, like, my kids think nothing of it. I mean, they click, mm-hmm, it. They expect it to be on. They expect it to play, like, the television without interruption. But so I get a little wary of watching sometimes, unless there's no other way to watch something.
I got
computer.
You.
I still feel that way, I do like to keep up with like I have apps on my phones and that sort of thing where I'll see the ASU game and I'll if I'm not convenient to a TV, I'll watch it that way. But if I see that it's going to be a good game, or if I see it's going to be weird like it was last week, then I'll head to the TV.
Weird? No, it was just awful. I mean, unless you're a Texas A&M fan. So I got a bunch of stuff I want to get to you. So let's just zip through what you've got. So let's start with what you've got. The Second Mother. What is The Second Mother all about?
The Second Mother is an outstanding movie. This woman works as a live-in housekeeper in Sao Paulo, and she has left her own family behind. She left her daughter behind 10 years before, and she lives kind of in the sticks. And she comes to the city to take some entrance exams to the college. And she's horrified that her mom is treated. They treat her nicely. She lives in a house and everything, but she's got like a little tiny room. And she thinks she's treated like a second-class citizen. It turns everything upside down, and nobody knows who's doing what or anything. And they really love this movie in Brazil, I guess, and it's going to be their Oscar nominee. But
really?
It doesn't sound like much, but it's really good. It's a Camel View thing, you know. And it's,
sure, sure.
And it's in Portuguese, of all things, but it's really... It's just good. And the woman who plays the main person, the live-in housekeeper, she is fantastic. And it's one of those performances where you don't even need to know what she's saying. It's just the way she carries herself. Like, she's really proud, but she doesn't really know where she fits in her daughter's life anymore. Like, the kids, the kid of the people she works for, he's closer to her than her own daughter is. It's sort of sad and sort of good. It's really good.
But this is an Oscar-nominated film. Will be an Oscar-nominated film, you really believe?
I think so, yeah, yeah. For a foreign language. Yeah, I think that'll be their nominee.
Okay, so you talked to Richard Gere, and when I think of Richard Gere, I think of Officer and a Gentleman and Pretty Woman. I'm just in that space. And then it felt like to me that he's gone down this path of just doing chick flicks. I don't know. Am I right or am I wrong? And why did Richard Gere call the house? Did your daughter pick it up? And was he cool and all that stuff?
Well, yeah, my daughter's in school. Richard Gere is not one that I would guess, other than maybe even Pretty Woman. My daughter probably doesn't know who Richard Gere is. I would, and I was thinking that too. You know, it's like to people our age, he is that certain thing. Officer and the Gentleman is huge. But no, I think I disagree with you a little bit there. I think he's been doing some more personal kind of movies. Like in this film, it's a movie called Time Out of Mind, and he plays a guy who's becoming homeless, and he produced this movie. And it's really interesting because it's sort of an actor's dream. I mean, to play like a guy going homeless, because you get to do like the mental instability, and you get all dirty and grungy and all that stuff, and especially a guy like him who is, by any accounts, a very handsome man. Is old.
Sure.
When he's 95 years old, he's still going to be handsome.
How old is he? Bill, how old is he, do you think?
He's in his 60s.
66, he told me. Okay, 66. All right.
And I get the idea. I mean, the place I first saw him was the place where a lot of people first saw him, which was American Gigolo. And he, in that movie, he looks like he's a male prostitute, basically. But he's 66, by the way. Okay. But he did these insane workouts, and he gives the appearance of somebody who still does the occasional sit up. You know?
Sure.
But one of the things I learned today is that he actually went to college on a gymnastics scholarship.
Huh.
So
did not know.
I did not either. But he does appear in these movies, and you see, good, bad, or indifferent, he's very graceful. You know, he moves very well.
But is he nice to you on the phone? That's what I want to know.
Not that nice.
No?
He's just kind of into all business. He's not unfriendly. He's from Philadelphia, and I have a friend from Philadelphia who he reminds me so much of because he's the way they talk is almost exactly alike. But my friend is friendlier to me because I know him. But if you didn't know my friend the way that I know him, you might find him off-putting or something. I think it's just the way that they talk to people. And it's that kind of thing where he's not unfriendly at all. I don't mean to give that impression.
Yeah.
He answers every question you ask him. But if you can get him to laugh, you know, you feel like you've really done something.
Good luck with that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He's a serious guy. I mean, he sort of backed into it, but he definitely got into the whole idea of being and not being and, you know, and how what we really want is selflessness and, you know, homelessness. Do we any of us have a home, and where is it? Is it really metaphysical instead of physical?
Wow. Way too deep.
It is possible I was not smart enough to carry on my end of the conversation.
Okay, so there's those two things. Now, I did want to get to, because I'm getting a lot of people asking me about, have you seen Star Wars yet? I know you're going to get burned out on Star Wars. I know this about you.
I have not, and I don't think I will until a few days before it comes out. I don't think anybody will.
And what are you hearing about Star Wars, though?
Nothing.
And it comes out. It's going to come out in early December?
Yes, until I think a week before Christmas. I mean, what you hear about it is what you always hear about. I was going back and looking at coverage of the last time this happened with the second round of movies, and the coverage is insane and glowing, and everybody's like, oh my God, I can't believe it. We saw the trailer for this movie. It's going to be the greatest movie ever. And the movie came out. They couldn't help but that wasn't that great.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's going to be the case here because I trust J.J. Abrams. I think he's a really good director and really smart, but I think they're going to the extent that they can, man, they've locked this thing down. I mean, they're not going to let anything out. What they're going to let out is a little bit here and there to keep you teased.
Sure.
And, you know, and the occasional line of toys that's going to keep that's going to keep you interested too. But I just don't know. I mean, it's funny because I did my fall preview, and there's some really dark movies here that are based on stuff like Black Mass with Johnny Depp, you know, very dark stuff. You know, he plays Whitey Bulger. But at the end of it, at the end of this fall movie tunnel, there's Star Wars sitting there. It's just like, it sort of towers over everything.
Yeah. No, it does. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing Spectre. I think I sat with you at the last Bond screening, and you know, it was okay. I wouldn't say it's over the top. I saw somebody somewhere say that the new James Bond may be Oscar worthy. I'm like, James Bond, Oscar worthy? Then it's not a great year for movies if that's the case.
I don't know. I always think it's not going to be, and then it gets to be, you know, the last third of the year, and it's like a bunch of good stuff comes out, and you go back and you look at stuff, and you look at these smaller movies that you almost forgot about, and it's like, wow, that wasn't so bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know. I'm trying to think of, you know, there's been some good stuff. There's actually been some good horror movies this year, but I think there's, and I know because I've seen a lot of them, I know that there's some really good stuff coming out. And you know, the film festivals are starting in earnest right now. Toronto just started last night. Venice just wrapped up the day before. Telluride was going on when Venice was.
Well, So, Bill, like last year, Birdman just came out of the blue last year about this time.
Just kind of popped up in September or October, yep. And there yep. it was. And, yep. and the next thing you know,
no, that's true.
And as you know, this happens. I think this happens actually in sports too. I think this happens with voting among coaches and writers, and I definitely think it happens with like MVP voting and stuff in the major sports. Things get momentum,
mm-hmm.
and once the momentum starts, you can't stop it. And you know, they're weird things. Like something last year, everybody thought Boyhood was going to be the big Oscar winner, right? It seemed like that's going to happen. Then Birdman comes in, and it just gets this unstoppable momentum.
Yep.
I don't think it was as good as Boyhood, but it's the same way. Let me ask you this: who was the NBA MVP last year?
LeBron James.
It should
Steph
have been.
Curry, but, I mean, Steph Curry, right. But it was LeBron
who's
James.
Player? Who's a better player?
Yeah.
LeBron James.
Yeah.
But it's that exactly.
Yeah.
Steph Curry is a really good player. He ain't LeBron James.
No.
Birdman is a really good movie. It ain't Boyhood. But the media gets this, it gets this unstoppable momentum, and you can't stop it. I mean, well, I guess that's pretty much the definition of unstoppable. But, man, maybe I need to study with my kids for the SAT.
No, you're fine. I got to let you go off that. Appreciate the time, as always. I'll talk next week.
All right.
There's Bill Goodykunz, Goody at the Movies. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Hey, tonight, when you're heading on out to high school football games, we have a hashtag that last week was the number one trending hashtag in Arizona. It's pretty cool. It's Friday Night 360AZ. So wherever you are tonight out at high school football games, you've got scores, you have details, hashtag Friday Night 360AZ. You see it there. Make sure you hashtag it. If you got pictures you want to attach, it's kind of cool to have people jumping in on that front. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat.